Welcome back, and thanks so much for hanging in there during this little commercial break. So, Stephanie, we want to talk about redemption, and redemption means a lot of things, but for those of us that are followers of Jesus and that are Christians, what does redemption look like in many different ways? Let's talk about the first one being we are redeemed through the crucifixion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We are made right with God through Christ.
So everything that we go through has been forgiven before it even happened because God knows us better than we know ourselves and better than we ever will. And when that first transgression happened in the garden, God said, I got to make this right. And the only way to do that is to send my son to shed his blood, to wash it all away, and to redeem everyone, right?
Yes.
And that's what he did. And that's why we are redeemed. That's one way of redemption. Let's talk about another one. We were just talking about that mindless scrolling and social media and even just other activities, but social media is so prevalent. Mindlessly watching television,
Yeah.
mindlessly just being a couch potato, right? And not being productive. We're meant to be productive. Adam was productive. He had a garden to tend to. He had a wife come along. He had purpose. We all have purpose. We all have a place. The Garden of Eden was their place. You know, tending to that garden was their purpose. And they had communion with God in a relationship every day, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're designed for. So when we are doing things that are mindless and are not with purpose, how can we get that time back? What are the steps that we need to take to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I spent 2 hours on social media doing nothing when I have four projects for work that I need to get done, or whatever it is, or I could have spent that 2 hours in the Word in connection with you, whatever it is. How do we get that time back? Because we can get that time back. How do we do it?
Yeah, I mean, we can't necessarily like rewind the day and instead of, sit on our phone, but that's a beautiful thing about God is God's concept of time. Time isn't an end all be all. It's quality over quantity. So once we realize that, it's funny you say that because something that's been in my heart lately is this idea of confession and repentance, right? This awareness that what I'm doing is not serving God because essentially many things that we do either draw us closer to the Father or they pull us away from Him. And so this idea that once you realize what you're doing is not serving you, or you feel worse than you did when you first got on social media, asking yourself, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to find in social media? And for many of us, it's, oh, well, I just want a laugh or a smile or an encouragement. Well, a laugh and a smile and an encouragement can be found in the Word of God, right? There's many stories and many verses that provide all of that. So it's being able to turn away and being okay with turning away. God knows what you're doing. He just wants you to openly confess to Him, Lord, I know I've been spending too much time doing this. It's not serving you. It's not serving myself. Like, help me and just to redeem that and help show me how to redeem that and how to spend time with you and what that looks like. So it's this idea of being able to repent, and I know many people don't like that, but it's to literally just turn away from it. Just say, no, I'm good. I'm not going to do that. And just allow God to draw you in so in such a greater way, just deeper and more meaningful and more grace-filled than anything that you would see flipping through social media or watching TV or just not being active because God's created us with a plan and with a purpose and He has a vision for you to be an active member of the kingdom, right? The Bible tells us that every member of God's church has a working part, and no member is more important than the other, but they all work together. We have our hand, we have the fingers within our hand, and we need all of these integral parts in order to make a successful working hand. So it's this idea that we are working in unity with other believers, and through that we're able to realize that our mindlessness doesn't just affect us, but it affects others around us. And for mm-hmm. me, it really affects my mothering, my ability to be present for my kids. And when I am frustrated that my toddler is coming up to me and she's mommy, 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 then I react and I don't respond in love with her because I'm frustrated and I'm already at that point where that emotion is tipping over and I'm not able to give her that grace and to show her that attention because instead mm-hmm. I have this selfish attitude where it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. And goodness, when your eyes are opened and you see mm-hmm. how sinful and how selfish we are without actively realizing it, it's definitely a huge mm-hmm. eye opener to really be intentional with your day and intentional with your time.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I think forward to the upcoming speakers that we have in the next coming weeks. And I think about the trauma and the grief and the histories, right, that we all have, the baggage that we all have. And I look at how that time that happened, the whatever those things were, those Egypts that we're in, how can we redeem that time? Because let's look at that story in the Bible when the Hebrews were taken out and they were taken out of enslavement in Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land and they had to go through the wilderness and they were so happy to be redeemed and, you know, get out of that enslavement. But then it got kind of old, you know, like we're in this wilderness a little long, you know, like, okay, Lord, what are we supposed to be doing here? And you know what, this is tough. I think I want to go back to enslavement, right? Yeah. I want to go back to what's familiar, what I know, because at least I had the comfort of food that I knew was going to happen every day. I'm not eating manna from heaven every morning and I don't need a rock to get me water type of thing, right?
Yeah.
But that's the trap. The familiarity is the trap that keeps us stuck, right? Yeah. And in order to get past that, we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable in that wilderness for just a little while. And if we were to acknowledge that and we say, you know what, Lord, I know this is not the end for me because this is not what you planned for me. So what I'm going to do is just be happy where I am. Thank you for what I have because of your grace. Because of your grace and your mercy, I have these things. And I'm just going to wait on you to get me to the next level and you're going to order my steps and guide me there. And the faster you can acknowledge that and thank him for that and know and tell him that you're relying on him, the smoother that transition will be into what would be your next promised land, because you're never at the end of your promised land until we die and go to heaven. We're never at the end of our promised land. We're at temporary promised lands along the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have these
Holy Spirit energy redeems our time, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. And we have these ideas where we don't want to sit in that uncomfortable, like you mentioned. We don't want to sit in the uncomfortable, and it's not something that you can say, okay, Lord, today I'm just going to decide to be okay with what I can't see and what I don't know, right? We're going to step in faith. It's not something that we say once and we don't have to say again. This mind renewal, this mindset renewal, mm-hmm. and this ability to consistently choose that path and to choose to be obedient mm-hmm. and to choose to have God direct our thoughts and just allow us to move in accordance to his will. It's an over and mm-hmm. over again. It's sometimes multiple times a day, you know, being able to have that perspective of knowing that, like you said, like God has planted a promise in your heart and God will fulfill his promise because his word is full of fulfilled promises. And if you look back in your life, you can see mm-hmm. time and time again how God has been faithful to get yeah. you where he said he's going to get you to and to get you through what he said he was going to get you through.
Absolutely. And that's a very interesting topic because as I was talking with Carrie Rockarts about what she will be speaking about, one of the things that we mentioned was the fact that even if you are not a follower and believer in Jesus, you are still not alone. You might not be in relationship with him. He's in relationship with you and he's waiting for you to accept that. But there are times that he is still he is always still carrying you and still protecting you and watching out for you. And as we look back, you know, hindsight is 2020, and we look back at different points and things in our life, and we're like, I can't explain how I got through that, but God,
yeah,
right? And like you said, it's not something you say once a day or, you know, at noon every day, like, you know what, okay, God, help me out, or, you know, whatever it is. We are, as the scripture says, to pray without ceasing. Let everything that has breath praise him. Yeah. You know, I am very, for lack of a better word, guilty of that. Like I said, when I'm driving and I'm going 200-300 miles, 5 hours one way, 6 hours, whatever, I am always in prayer. I'm always giving thanks. I can walk through my house and just go from the office to the kitchen and thank you, Lord, that I have a kitchen to go to,
yeah,
to get lunch that you provided food with. You see what I'm saying? It's the everyday thing. It's the everyday things.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be able to know that we are able, we have all these things and he's given us these things and they are his, right? A lot of times when we think of like money and income and material goods, we think, oh, we have these because we earned them, but God has given them to us and he has blessed us with that. And you know, that's why the Bible says tithing is so important, because you are to give back to God what he's given to you. And it's just, it's this idea, that we don't have full ownership of everything that is around us. And that's a good thing, because we don't want that ownership and we don't want that full control.
Mm-hmm. So very interesting. I'm going to use a subject or a topic that people don't think about when you say what you did about everything belongs to him and their gift from him. Let's look at our children.
Yeah.
We were entrusted to have those children. They were gifts from God. God was like, okay, I see you. And I see that this child would be good with you. And God gave us his children. We have to steward those children, right? But this is where baptisms and dedications come in, because at that point we're giving them back to God.
Yeah.
And we're asking, as we pray, as mothers, we pray every day, you know what, God, I lift my children up to you. Keep them safe, keep them healthy. You know, my children are all adults, but I still pray for them as if they're, you know, two. You know, keep them safe. Praying for their safety when they're traveling to and from work, even. Safe in their homes from any attacks and burglaries and thefts, you know, as they go about their everyday life. So we have to give everything back to God, our lives, ourselves, our souls, our spirits, our energy. And again, that Holy Spirit energy is what redeems our time. Because I tell you what, there are so many days that I'm here working and I look back at the end of the night as I'm saying thank you for the day and the production of things that happened. I'm like, wait, I checked off this and that. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because I know I didn't do all that work. And I'll tell you, I have a good example. I was needing to do a video. I had to create a video for a project, and I had a deadline and I was coming up on that deadline. And I was like, dear God, can you just do this? Cause I don't know what to do here. I have no thoughts on where to go with this. 2 hours later, it was done. And all I could do is I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I always ask for the work to be done effortlessly, just through me, by him. And lo and behold, it happens. That's how so many of the things here at Infinitely More Life and Mercy's Light happen. We pray about everything and we just ask for guidance and everything. And the work that is being done over there in Kenya, this is all God driven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's fantastic. So our listeners and our viewers, when we talk about redeeming that time, what are some of the tools and tips that we're going to learn about? You do coaching. How do you know someone's ready?
For coaching?
Mm-hmm.
They have to realize that something is missing, or they're feeling kind of spiritually stuck, or that they're not able to navigate really clear, there's kind of a disconnect. Like this kind of, it's fuzzy and it's foggy, and there seems to be a disconnect on maybe what they're feeling versus what they're believing and what they're knowing, and how they're able to connect all of those and how those are related. I'd say you have to come with an openness, and you have to come being able to be teachable and be comfortable navigating the uncomfortable, because God is going to stretch you and God is going to take you outside of your comfort zone, because that's where growth and true transformation occurs. And so this willingness to kind of step into the unknown, I think it was Peter, right, who walked on the water?
Yes.
Yeah, so Peter was walking on water, and he didn't even feel the wind. He just sensed that the wind might come. And so it was kind of this what if, what if, what if. And then from that, he started to sink because he started to doubt. And so this idea that we keep our eyes focused and we keep our eyes on the prize, and God redeems your past. You know, God redeems your childhood trauma. God redeems your addictions, all of that. And it's when you see it and you want someone else so desperately to see it, that's when you have to continually pray and just pray that God will remove the veil and open their eyes to what he has for them.
Absolutely. And that is so true. You know, we might have faith, but if we have doubt and that doubt overshadows that faith and takes over, we will slip back. We will sink. We will get that worry and everything coming back in. And then we have to do what Peter was supposed to do and focus on Jesus. Redirect. That's where we have that control over our mind, where we have that control over our thoughts, where we shift our life. We have to refocus, right? Because the fact of the matter is, the wind is going to blow, right?
Yes.
The wind is going to blow. It's just, it's the way it is. But are we going to let it blow us over?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And if it does blow us over, are we just going to lay there, or are we going to allow Jesus to pick us up?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And he wants to be our hope. He wants to be our anchor, but we have to choose him in the storm. We have to choose him in the trials so he can remain in us and we can remain in him. So then we can take our testimony and our story of, I think I mentioned this before, but it's when you have your story, your testimony, or your struggle, and you can say, but God, and having that idea that God is the redeeming quality, that God ultimately offers the deliverance, the healing, the recovery, all of that. And it's just giving that glory over to him.
Correct. And that's where he gets the glory, is in our praises. You know, nothing makes him happier than our praise. He loves the sound of our voice. He loves to hear. Now, I can't sing, so I'm not going to even say he loves to hear us sing, but he might like to hear someone else sing, but I'm not that one. You know, he was like, Era, could you just talk to me?
Just hum, please.
So again, that goes back to that, to the scripture, just let everything, like David. Oh my goodness. David was he's just full of praise. He sings songs, and you know, that is the rejoicing that God loves to hear from, because here's the thing, he's singing over us. He's rejoicing in us. He's delighting in us, you know, and as long as we're delighted, but it's a dance, right? It's a dance. He's delighting in us. We're delighting in him, and the world is all right. You know, despite what it looks like outside, the world is really all right as long as we have God on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can get so caught up in thinking, you know, oh, I'm a failure today because I did this, or I failed today because I should not have responded that way, or I should have said something different. But I mean, even if you look at those things, God is not measuring his love or your worth based on how likely you're able to do this or perform this or get to this next step. And the world has such a different idea of what success means and everything like that. And God says you're successful and you're loved because I made you. You don't have to anything to earn that. I created you and I love you. I read a story to my daughter, You Are Special by Max Lucado. And it's about this idea that this wooden puppet is allowing the world to come in and influence him. So he's getting marked on his body about negative things that people are saying to him. And he goes and sees his maker, and his maker tells him, don't allow those dots to stick. Don't allow those marks to stick. Like, what I have for you and what I say about you is most important. So absolutely, it's this idea of being able to transform what we see success is and what we see value in. Your value in God is the same whether or not you ate a hamburger or a salad for lunch. Mm-hmm. And we have such, women especially, have such an issue with kind of, you know, moralizing food, good or bad, and then just allowing that to play a huge role in how we feel about ourselves and even how we feel about the rest of our day. You know, a number on a scale or a pant size that we wear, we allow that to kind of almost control in a way how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about how well we are managing our life. And God says, no, like that's not what it's about. You know, you are who you are, and it doesn't matter if you ate a salad or you ate cake for breakfast. You know, it matters what I say about you. And I'm passionate about that because that's part of my own story about being redeemed from the struggle that I had with food.
Okay. What was that struggle? Did you overeat, undereat?
Yeah. So
I know what that story was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of both.
Okay. And what did you do to overcome that struggle?
So ultimately, I didn't do anything. I found out that I grew up in an alcoholic household, and early several years ago, I found out my dad was seeking recovery. And so I had a small part to play in kind of writing him a letter, and he called me and he said, I'm going to turn my life around. Like, your letter meant so much. And I had a huge, like, Holy Spirit revelation. I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, God's, you know, going to turn my dad around and help him change his life and all of this stuff. And that lasted maybe for a year or so. But after that point, I learned that my dad had fallen back, right? We talk about these easy patterns and these easy sins to fall back into. I learned that he fell back into that. And that was a huge source of just pain for me and just pain for my life and pain for just grieving that relationship or that thought that I had for my dad and how he was going to change his life. And it really honestly was at that moment where I was experiencing such a deep pain and a deep sorrow and anger, honestly, for my dad just choosing going back to that I realized that no food was going to make me feel better. And I know that sounds so simple, but that's what it was. It was, I realized that no amount of cookies, no amount of cake, no amount of whatever was going to take that away. And so it was literally like at that moment that I realized that God is our only source of comfort. God is our only source of hope. And he's our only source of strength to get through those hard times.
You know, and it's so interesting that we're talking about food. We hear it infinitely more. We have our February conference coming up, and it is called Freedom Harvest, and we are going to explore the fruits of the Spirit. And it also happens to be taking place February 26th and 27th, and sundown on the 26th is the end of Purim, and there's a feast involved with all of that. So anyone that knows the story and the history of Purim will understand that, and so we look forward to it. See, again, just like trauma and grief and they have their place in perspective. Social media, that it has its place in perspective. Food has its place in perspective. It's when you let it overcome you and control you that it's not what it's meant to do. Food is meant to sustain us and give us nourishment and sustenance from the physical sense. The Word of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are meant to give us sustenance and feed us and nutrition from a spiritual sense. So we can be full nutritionally in our body, physically with proper food and proper eating, but we also can be full within our spirit and our soul with the Word of God and time with God and just that relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's this idea that we have this spiritual growth and this spiritual awareness in mm-hmm. one area, and when you're strong in your relationship with God and you're leaning on Him, it will spill over into other areas. You will see, you'll be more mindful of what you put in your body, because you want to fuel your body, because the Bible tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we want to treat it well. Mm-hmm. We want to help it to serve well. And then we need, of course, our body to do the many tasks and responsibilities that we're called to do. And that's not to say that people who are suffering with illness or certain ailments right. like that are not called for that. But it's one of the things where we are called to have kind of this holistic approach to health and wholeness mm-hmm. and wellness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we are almost at the end of our time, and I cannot wait for this next 5 weeks to play out, and then you and I come back together to wrap this series up. That will be for November 9th, and that it's just going to be amazing. So I encourage everyone that is listening and watching us right now to join us again. Every week we have a new speaker and a new topic, and it's going to be just in bite-sized chunks. Of course, you can listen all at once if you'd like to. It's up to you. But to make it easy for those that are commuting or things of that nature, we're breaking these up into bite-sized chunks. But you really, really are going to learn a lot. You're going to have some aha moments. You're going to say, oh my goodness, me too. And wow, light bulbs are just going to go on. And we encourage you to reach out to us for prayer and for coaching and counseling. Here at Infinitely More Life, we don't just do this and say thanks for watching. We literally want to connect with you. You can find us at infinitelymorelife.org or .org on the website, but you can also find us on Facebook at Infinitely More Life, and put in your prayer requests. We do pray not only for you individually, but also corporately. We come together as a team every week, and we have prayer over many things, including those of you that are watching and requesting prayer, but as well as our podcast and our books and things that, again, go out to Amazon, order the I Am Enough in Christ journal and the devotional book. Just join us next week. We have our first guest coming up, and that is going to be Tracy Loken Weber. She's going to lay the foundation of this series and talk about our brain and how it works and why some of the triggers are there to do the things that we do or don't do the things that we don't do. And so she has a very, very eye-opening, yes, it's a little clinical, but if you don't have a foundation and a background to understand the brain and why it does what it does and the way it's wired, then we can't move on to the next process. So join me next week. Tracy Loken Weber will be joining me, and we'll be talking about the brain. Stephanie, it is a pleasure talking to you today, and we will reconvene for the end of this series and talk about all of our speakers and their coaching and what they have coming up on the horizon, okay?
Yay, I'm so excited. I can't wait for the series to begin.
I know, same here. And I've obviously done some of the conversations already and know what's coming up, but I can't wait to dig in deep with these speakers one at a time.